Harvest New Beginnings Church is located in Oswego, Illinois. We exist for God's glory alone, encouraging each other to have a deep love for God and a sincere love for people. This message is brought to you by Pastor Scott Poling.
Hey, today's a big day. If you're a football fan, Kansas City Chiefs going up against the 49ers, the title, the ring, the Vince Lombardi trophy on the line. Who's going for the Chiefs here? Who's going for the Chiefs? Who's going for the Niners? Who's going for the Niners? Oh, okay. Who here could care less? You don't care. You win. You win. Well, I know this. Whatever team wins, they're going to win because they play as a team. No one player, no matter how talented, can pull it off. It takes a team effort. The same thing is true for marriage. It takes a husband and it takes a wife. It takes them understanding they are teammates and what it means to play as a team, to understand their positions, their roles, and execute them well. Not perfectly, but giving it our all. Last week, we started a new series, Our Imperfect Family. That does not say, I'm perfect family. It's not what it says. Not a single one of us is a dad or a husband is perfect. Not a single one of us is a mom or a wife. None of us is perfect. Not a single child here is perfect. We are all very far from perfect. And we all have things we need to learn and improve on and understand. And God's Word is our textbook to help us learn and improve and understand what it means to be a family, what it means to be a good husband or a good wife or a good parent. And God is the one who created our home. Marriage was God's idea. And he's drawn up some winning plays. We just need to follow him. We just need to do what he says to do. And today we're going to see some instructions. And we're going to see instructions for the first player, and that's the wife. And she runs out on the field to the applause of everybody. Let's hear it for the wives among us today. Woo! And you wives are awesome. You are wonderful. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 18:22, a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. It's good to be married to your wife. You lean over, husbands, right now, and you tell her, you a good thing. You a good thing. God's favor is upon you if you're married. Proverbs 19:14, a house and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Men, your wise, sensible, godly wife is a gift from God Almighty. You need to thank God for her. Never stop cheering for her, supporting her. Never take her for granted. Treasure her as that precious gift from God. God has winning plays for his wife, for the wife in his book. And just like in a football game, though, there's always going to be critics in the stands. They're going to be yelling at the refs and yelling at the players and yelling at the coaches, and they don't like or understand the play selection, and the same is true today. There'll be critics even here today of God's playbook and what he says. Listen to what he says. Those are winning plays. They're never wrong. Some people, though, will mock and scorn God's playbook, call it antiquated, outdated, a bunch of foolishness, misinterpret God's teaching in light of their more enlightened thoughts. God's word has never been wrong. The key is doing what it says. And God's word is for everyone, and this message will be for everyone. It's for wives. It's for young women who one day may be wives. It's for men to know how to pray for their wives and their daughters. It's for singles. It's for those who may never be married. Lessons are learned here as well to understand and even pass on. And what we learn from God's word about a wise woman and a wise wife is this. First, they're constructive. You know, a good wife and a good woman, she's a builder. She's in the construction business. As a matter of fact, we read this verse in Proverbs 14:1. And we'll see a lot of Proverbs today as well as some other passages. Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman builds her house, but a foolish one tears it down with her own hands. A wise woman builds houses, and we're not talking 2x4s, plumbing, electrical, or white picket fences. We're talking building a home. She builds her family. She builds her marriage. So here's the question, ladies. How's the building coming? Making any progress? Things coming together? How's the home? How's the family? How's the marriage? Facing some delays, some frustrations? That's normal. Building means you need to ask yourself some questions. Is how I act in my marriage building up my marriage? The things that I say and how I say them, does it build up my marriage? Ask yourself some questions. A good wife is in the building business. A foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. She's in the demo business. She's ripping the thing apart, her marriage. She's ripping it down with her own hands, her own attitudes, her own actions and neglect or laziness or misplaced priorities. And sometimes the house is coming down all around her. She doesn't even know it or see it. And today we're going to study some ways a foolish woman tears her house down, but a wise woman builds it up. And for unmarried men, I want you to take some notes too. Most important decision in your life outside of salvation is who you marry. And you want to marry, you want to look for a home builder, not a home wrecker. A wise woman, a wise wife is constructive. She's also trustworthy. One of the greatest passages of what it means to be a woman of God is in Proverbs 31, and we'll reference it from time to time. I want you to see Proverbs 31:11. The heart of her husband trusts in her. A wise woman builds complete confidence. Ladies, do you do that? Does your husband have complete 100% confidence in you? No reason why her husband wouldn't trust her. Never even crosses his mind not to trust her. Never a reason to doubt her. He never has to question her. The heart of her husband trusts in her. Not every husband can say that. Men, if you can say you trust your wife absolutely implicitly, you're a blessed man. Don't you ever take that for granted. Man, what a gift to a man to come home after facing this world and all of its nonsense, after facing the pressures of life and work, to come home to a wife and a companion whom he loves and whom he can just trust. What incredible peace of mind and peace in life. Well, what can he trust her with? He can trust her with money and how she spends it. He can trust her with information that she doesn't share it because it's private. He can trust her with the home and the organization of it. He can trust her with time and her use of it. He can trust her with children and her care of them. Can he trust you, ladies? Are you trustworthy? Can he trust you with his heart? One translation of this passage is her husband entrusts his heart to her. Can he be vulnerable with you? Share his pain, his disappointments, his failures, his dreams, his aspirations? Can he trust you? A wise woman, a wise wife is constructive. She's trustworthy. She's consistent. She's consistently good and consistently does good. Proverbs 31:11 and 12. The heart of her husband trusts in her. He will not lack anything good. She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life. She is only and ever good. That doesn't mean you're perfect, but she's good. I mean, wherever she walks in the home, whatever she does in the home, this fragrance of goodness just follows her wherever she goes. The sweet perfume of goodness is all around her. Only and ever good. And she rewards him with good. This verse also carries the idea of plunder. In other words, this woman is a warrior. Facing the battles of life, bringing back the spoils, the plunder of victory for her husband and her family. Only and ever good, rewards him with good, and consistently good all the days of her life. Meaning day after day after day, year after year after year. This woman is good. A good wife is good. Not just in the first year of marriage, but every year in marriage. Even the difficult years of marriage, and we all have them, she is good. A wise woman, a wise wife is also diligent. Verse 27 of Proverbs 31. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. She watches. She's like a watchman on the wall of a city, constantly on guard, keeping an eye on everything. Yes, kids, she has eyes in the back of her head. She sees everything, man. She does. She knows what's going on. She pays attention to the details. Meanwhile, dad is clueless. Not mom. She knows what's going on. You kids don't understand. You'd be dead if you were always watched by your dads. Mom has kept you alive. Seriously. And she's well organized and runs the household. It says she watches over the activities of her household. And there's all kinds of activities that you wonderful women look over. I'm talking the calendar and appointments and shopping and cooking and school and laundry and church and family activities. What do you not do? I mean, incredible, honestly, is this godly woman. And we see this in Proverbs 31, and we won't have time to go into it, but throughout Proverbs, you see her, 31, clothing the family and feeding her family and working hard for her family. She's buying fields and planting vineyards and making and selling clothing, and she's also confident for her family. Proverbs 31, 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. Think about that. And she can laugh at the time to come. She just has this joy about the future. She's not worried about it. She carries herself with confidence. Strength and honor are her clothing. She carries herself with this confidence, not pride, okay? But she clothes herself with strength. She's strong. And honor as well. Now, I want you to understand there's nothing wrong with being a strong woman at all. As long as you're an honorable woman and a humble woman. And she laughs at the future, the time to come. She's not a worrier. She's done the best she can do. She's given it to God. She leaves it in His hands. She lives in a fearless life of faith. Ladies, live fearlessly. You do the best you can before God and you leave it in His hands and you trust Him. She's strong, she's confident, and she's never lazy. It says here she is never idle. She's never like that car sitting in the driveway you forgot about that's been warming up for the past hour. Idling away, doing nothing, going nowhere. That's not her. She's always got somewhere to go, always got something to do. She keeps herself busy with all kinds of things that matter. And she's up early and she's up late. Proverbs 31, verse 15 and 18. She rises while it's still night, early in the morning. Provides food for her household, portions for her female servants. She sees that her profits are good. Her lamp does not go out at night. I mean, she is a hard, energetic worker, staying disciplined and being self-controlled. That's a good godly wife and a good godly mom. Be self-disciplined. Be self-controlled. Know that your family depends on you and your husband. He needs you. A wise woman and a wise wife, constructive, trustworthy, consistent, diligent, she fears God. That's why she's all these things. She's a God-fearing woman. Verse 30. Charm, it's deceptive. Beauty, it's fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. You notice what her priority is and what her priorities are not. Her priority is not personality. Charm is deceptive. Charm here is negative. It's shallow. It's superficial. It's manipulative with your personality. This woman of God isn't fake. She refuses to play the charm game. She doesn't even go there. She doesn't rely on charm. She relies on God and trust in God and prayer to God and waiting on God and following the word of God. She doesn't need charm. She's got God. Her priority is not personality. Her priority is not outward beauty. Beauty is fleeting. It's not going to last. Hate to tell you that, ladies. There's nothing wrong with looking good, though. Amen? Amen. All the guys should be saying that. All the ladies should be saying that. There's nothing wrong with looking good. Okay? But we got to understand we're all aging and wrinkling and sagging and graying. Let's just keep it real. Keep it in perspective. Keep it balanced. The average woman spends at least an hour and 15 minutes, if not a lot longer, a day getting ready. No? Longer? I'm just saying the stats here, people. I'm just saying the stats. Listen, picking out clothes, going back, getting different clothes, putting on makeup, doing your makeup, redoing your hair, doing your hair again. Character counts more than clothing. Maturity matters more than your makeup. Spiritual maturity. Holiness matters more than your hair. Focus on what matters most. Listen to these words in 1 Peter. Don't let your beauty consist of outward things like elaborate hairstyles and wearing gold jewelry or fine clothes, but rather what is inside the heart. The imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. True beauty is not what's on the outside. You need to be more than your clothes and more than your hair and much more than your makeup. Again, nothing wrong with looking nice. Amen? Nothing wrong with looking nice. But keep the priorities straight. See, the outward means nothing without the inward. The outward means nothing without the inward. Proverbs 11:22. A beautiful woman who rejects good sense is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. The world is filled with pretty pigs. Oink, oink, oink. They're pretty on the outside. They are disgusting on the inside. The world is full of these. A beautiful woman who rejects good sense is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. Young men, all men, listen carefully. Get your eyes off of the shiny ring. Get your eyes on what matters most. The shiny ring may be pretty to look at, but that woman's a pig. And a pig is repulsive and disgusting. Pigs roll around in the mud in their own excrement. They eat slop and garbage. And a pig was especially unclean to Jews. First and foremost, you go after godly, because beauty without godly is ugly. Beauty without godly is ugly. True beauty is not the outward. True beauty is what's on the inside, 1 Peter 3:4, but rather what is inside the heart, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Ladies, it's your heart that matters most. It's your spirit that matters most. This imperishable quality, imperishable meaning this never fades with time. It never goes out of style like the clothes in your closet. It never gets old. It never gets outdated. It never needs to be improved. This is what you go after. The imperishable quality of what? A gentle spirit. What's it mean? Not obnoxious or bossy or rude. You ever seen The View? Never mind. Gentle spirit. Gentle spirit. And a quiet spirit. Not overbearing, not argumentative. Now listen carefully. There's nothing wrong with having an outgoing, lively, fun personality. That's not what he's talking about. There's nothing wrong with being outgoing, lively, and fun. You can be outgoing, but gentle. You can be outgoing, but not obnoxious. It's the heart that matters most. It's the spirit that matters most. It's God that matters most, which is of great worth in God's sight. Who are you trying to impress? You trying to impress the people of this world? You trying to impress your Heavenly Father? It's not about impressing some boy at school or some young man at work or a coworker or classmates or neighbors or friends. What does God want to see? He wants to see your heart, your gentle spirit, your quiet spirit. Priority is not personality. It's not beauty. Back to Proverbs 31, priority is godly. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. A woman who fears the Lord will be what? Praised. It's this woman who fears God. And we learned last week that the fear of the Lord is an overwhelming sense of reverence for God. That's how you and I are to live. overwhelming sense of reverence for God. His power, his presence, his holiness, his righteousness, judgment, love, grace, mercy, that inspires this profound sense of awe in our souls. To live in the presence of God. To have that kind of fear of God. That's the fear of God. And what does it do? It changes everything in my life and your life when we live in the fear of God. It changes how we act and where we go and how we talk, decisions we make. It clarifies what's important, prioritizes, changes, purifies us, causing us to avoid sin and confess our sin when we live in the fear of God. And a God-fearing woman is to be praised because her character just shines. And first and foremost, she is to be praised by her family. Proverbs 31:28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. Gentlemen, children, you need to praise your wife. You need to praise your mom, because she's not going to get it in this world. They praise the wrong things. She needs you to come alongside and praise her and thank her and applaud her and support her. A wise woman, a wise wife, she fears God next. She guards her mouth. She holds her tongue. Because nothing can tear down a home like a woman's tongue. The tongue is extremely dangerous, James 3. The tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness. It's placed among our members, it stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Did you hear the description of what is in your mouth and my mouth? It's a fire ignited by hell. Hellfire is in my mouth and your mouth. World of unrighteousness, the potential for limitless evil is in your mouth. Stains the whole body, covers us in filth. It's wild and untamable, the things that come out of our mouths. It's a restless evil. It's always looking for a lie to tell, gossip to share, slander to accuse, and curse, and complain, and whine, and complain, and grumble, and moan. And it kills. It's full of deadly poison. That tongue can kill relationships, can kill hope, kill confidence, kill joy. Should be a skull and crossbones tattooed next to my mouth and your mouth. It's how dangerous our mouths are. Open very carefully. Please understand what's inside your mouth. The moment you open it, there is the danger of spitting fire and burning your marriage down. And burning your home down. Truly open carefully. Proverbs 10:19. Because when there are many words, sin is unavoidable. But the one who controls his lips is prudent, is wise. Think before you speak. Do I even need to speak? And what I'm about to say, should I even say? Limit your words. The more words, the greater the possibility of saying something you should never say. The more words, the greater the possibility of sinning, igniting, staining, and poisoning. Open carefully. Open prayerfully. Psalm 141:3 should be every single one of our prayers. Lord, set up a guard for my mouth. Keep watch at the door of my lips. We should pray that at the beginning of every single day. God, guard my mouth. I too easily say what I should not say. We should say that at the beginning of every conversation, every meeting we have with somebody. God, guard my mouth. I don't want to start any fires today. The tongue is dangerous. Now, there's a particular danger for wives when it comes to the tongue. And Scripture teaches this clearly. And it's the danger of nagging. Nagging is constant complaining and continual fault finding. It is constant correction and scolding. It is continual asking and urging. It is being a persistent irritation and source of annoyance. That's what nagging is. So at this time, I want to introduce you to Mrs. Fawcett. Drip, 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 drip. Proverbs 19:13, and a wife's nagging is an endless what? Dripping. Makes a man's life miserable, unbearable, wears him down, wears him out, drives him nuts, and drives him away. Away to the corner of a roof, Proverbs 21 and 25. Better to live on the roof of a house, think about it, corner of a roof, than to share a house with a nagging wife. Has anybody seen Dad? Where's my husband? Have you checked the roof? The garage, the yard, the basement. That does not mean every time Dad or your husband, you can't find him, that doesn't mean it's because of nagging, okay? But understand, the roof of an ancient Jewish home was flat. It was livable, but it was uncomfortable. So what are they saying? It's better to live outside and face the storms of nature than to be inside and force face the storms of this woman I'm married to. I'm assuming, sir, your wife is not here. The storms of nature blow away. The storms of a nagging wife never seem to end. The husband of a nagging wife is constantly looking for an escape. I gotta get out of the house. Away to the corner of a roof. Away to the wilderness, Proverbs 21:19. Better to live in a wilderness than with a nagging and hot-tempered wife. And a wilderness then meant the desolate desert, what the Israelites wandered around in for 40 years. And even worse than a nagging wife is a nagging, hot-tempered wife. She just plain mean. She's an angry woman, bitter woman, unkind woman, and she is cruel. And the littlest things set her off. She's short-fused Sally. And if your name's Sally, I apologize. Or Susie or whatever. She's nagging. She's driving her husband away. She's uncontrollable. Proverbs 27. An endless dripping, drip, 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 drip on a rainy day and a nagging wife are alike. The one who controls her controls the wind. You can't control the wind. And grass oil in his right hand. You can't hold on to oil. She's out of control. She won't shut up. She won't listen to reason. She always has to be right. She always has to have the last word. And every time she opens her mouth, she ignites another fire. And she burns her husband again. And she's burning her home down. Her mouth is a flamethrower. She is a verbal pyromaniac. Ladies, guard your mouth. Hold your tongue. Be so careful. How different than woman of God? Proverbs 31:26. Her mouth speaks wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. I visited Matheson State Park. It's right next to Starved Rock. It's about 45 minutes away. Some of you may have never been there and you live so close to it. Would you go to these state parks? Take them in. They're just beautiful. And I just chased waterfalls, all kinds of waterfalls all day. There were big waterfalls there, just enjoying them. There were smaller waterfalls there down in the valleys. Just beautiful. Do you realize when a woman of God speaks, it's like a waterfall of wisdom that refreshes the soul, just listening to her. When a woman of God speaks, it's like a waterfall of loving words and kindness that just cascade down out of her mouth. You listen to her and it's soothing and it's calming. It's refreshing. It's beautiful. Listening to a woman of God is a thing of beauty to listen to. Ladies, are your words beautiful to listen to? Are they filled with wisdom? Are they filled with love? So much different than the other woman. Sharing the latest gossip and slander and continually complaining and criticizing and constantly scolding and correcting and tearing down. This woman's mouth speaks wisdom. Loving instruction is on her tongue. Wisdom is good insight and good advice. And men, you need to listen to her. Stop being so pig-headed and proud. There are wonderful things your wife shares with you. that you need to sit down and listen and pray over and think about and humbly take it in. And her words are filled with loving instruction, kindness and gentleness and thoughtfulness. Ladies, you can bark out orders or you can lovingly instruct. Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth in love. Because how we say what we say makes a big difference. Proverbs 16, the heart of a wise person instructs his mouth. Do you get that? You think before you speak. I need to instruct my mouth what it should or should not say. It adds learning to his speech. Is this the right time to say this? Should I wait on this? Is this the right way I should say this? Maybe I shouldn't say anything at all. The heart of a wise person instructs his mouth and adds learning to his speech. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the taste and health to the body. Contrasted to this person, Proverbs 12. There's one who speaks rashly like a piercing sword. The tongue of the wise brings healing. See, when a foolish woman speaks, she blabs and stabs. Blab, 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 stab, 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 blab, 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 stab, 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 stab. Don't be blabbing and stabbing. The wise woman, when she speaks, she helps and she heals. She doesn't blab and stab. Be a woman who helps and heals, not blabs and stabs. A wise woman, a wise wife, is constructive and trustworthy, consistent and diligent, fears God, guards her mouth, and respectfully submits. What did he say? I said the S word. Submits. That word is so archaic, Pastor Scott. It's Neanderthal. It's puritanical. We're not living in the 1600s or 1700s. My word, that's so chauvinistic and sexist and politically incorrect. And you've heard me say it. I am not interested in being politically incorrect. I am interested, or politically correct. I'm interested in being biblically correct. That's what matters here. Now, listen carefully. Don't be afraid to contradict the culture and this world. You fear contradicting God and his holy word. Don't you ever fear contradicting this world. Who you and I need to fear is God and his holy word. And the word submission is a powerful word. It is an important word. It is a beautiful word filled with deep spiritual maturity and trust in your God. The word submission is a home-building word, a marriage-protecting word. And the absence of submission in your vocabulary and your life will lead to tearing down your home and tearing down your marriage. Says who? God. Clear command in Scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Clear command given. Many people don't like this word submission, though, because they honestly just don't understand what it means. And it's been so abused by our culture. Submission does not mean you're a floor mat that he walks on. It does not mean your opinion doesn't matter. It does not mean you got to jump at his every command. It does not mean he's better than you. Submission has nothing to do with inequality or inferiority. Nothing. As a matter of fact, husbands and wives are equal in the eyes of Almighty God. Husbands are even told in 1 Peter 3, show them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life. Co-heirs is equal. Child of God, that's who you are, that's who I am, men or women. As a matter of fact, Galatians 3, 28, there's no Jew or Greek in God's eyes, slave or free, male or female, since all are one in Christ Jesus. So it's not about inequality or inferiority. And may we never forget, Adam was incomplete without Eve. And every woman should say, amen. And you know he's incomplete. You live with the guy. Man, does he need you. The creation of Eve also was the crown of creation. It's like God got done and then he said, I got a surprise for you. And woohoo! She shall be called Woo-Man. I mean, think about it. She was, you're the crown of creation, ladies. So submit does not mean inequality or inferiority. Submission has everything to do with trust. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. So you have to decide, am I going to trust God or not? Am I going to trust his word or not? Am I going to trust my husband into the hands of the Lord? It's an issue of trust. Lord, you've asked me to do this. It's not always easy, but I'm a woman of God. Your word has never failed me. I'm going to trust you. And by the way, it takes all the pressure off you, because all that pressure is put on the shoulders of your husband, and he's held responsible before God Almighty, not you. Trust him over to your husband, and then you pray for him. Submission has everything to do with roles and responsibilities. Verse 23 says the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. I want you to think about when the football teams take the field today. The offense of the 49ers go out on the field, and two quarterbacks are there trying to get the snap. No, there's just one quarterback. Can you imagine if there were two quarterbacks fighting for the snap, fighting for the ball, trying to get the ball, trying to call the plays? It would be disastrous. It would be confusing, and they would lose. There are some marriages that are losing because the wife is running out on the field, pushing her husband out of the way, trying to take the ball and trying to call all the shots. Be careful. And some of you are here like, I just want my husband to take the ball. If he would just take the ball. Oh, we're going to get to him, ladies. We're going to get to him. Mark my word. Just make sure he's in church every Sunday of the series. Just don't nag him to get him here, okay? Encourage him wisely, okay? Submit means you yield. I do this to my wife. I yield to her. When I'm in the kitchen, I yield to the chef. I know what it means to submit. Man, she needs me to wash some dishes or some bowls or something, I'll do that. She needs me to get something out of the refrigerator, I'll do that. If I try to take over the kitchen and start cooking, we all starve. And I leave the stove on. We burn the thing down. Seriously. You know what it means to submit. I know what it means to submit. It's kind of like coming to the intersection. And there's a car that you give the right of way to. You give the right of way to your husband. You let him have the final say on decisions. And any husband who's intelligent is going to listen to his wife and get advice. There's no big decisions we make in a marriage, my wife and I, that I don't get her input on. We pray together. We talk to the Lord. We talk it over. We do it together. But I'll make the final decision. As long as sin is not involved, you let him make the final decision. But the Bible says here, submit in everything. Wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. Yes, so long as sin is not involved. The husband asks you, you know, we're getting short on money. Could you go rob that bank? Your answer shouldn't be, which one? No. Your answer should be, no. Why? Acts 5:29, Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God. God comes first, honey, not you, not people. Your husband says, you can't go to church anymore. Ladies, your answer is what? No. That's your answer. Because of Hebrews 10, not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing. Your husband says, lie on the taxes. Your answer is what? No. Romans 13, let everyone submit to the governing authorities, since there's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are instituted by God. Listen, authority of your husband ends where disobedience to God begins. Submission to your husband ends where disobedience to God begins. The word of God always eclipses the word of your husband every single time. Now, never underestimate the power of submission and the importance of submission. 1 Peter 3. In the same way, wives, here it is again, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that even if some of them disobey the word, they may be won without a word by the way their wives live when they observe your pure and reverent lives. So we see the importance of submission in the same way, wives. Now, this is written to all wives. Whether you were married just this past weekend and you're here on your honeymoon at church, congratulations. or you've been married 50 some 60 years. It applies to all wives. And it says, in the same way as what? The same way as who? The same way as Jesus. The context is 1 Peter 2. He entrusted himself to the one, the Father, who judges justly. That's what it is. Do you understand? When you submit to your husband, you are Christ-like. You're modeling Christ-likeness in your life. And then we see not only the importance, the also the power of submission to change a man. Because let's face it, some men are very hard to live with. Let's face it, every man is hard to live with, ladies. Every single man is so pig-headed and proud at times and defensive and hard of hearing. Some feel like this. Nobody told me that when I get a husband, the ears were sold separately. And some men are especially difficult. If you live with a man who's not a Christian, or if you live with a Christian who's not living for Jesus, that's hard. You live with a man who's unsupportive of your faith. You live with a man who refuses to come to church. You live with a man who mocks your commitment and love for Christ. You live with a man like that, it's a daily battle, and it's tiring, it's wearying to your soul. And I would encourage you, we have some wonderful women's groups at our church just to encourage you. Ladies, get involved in a Bible study. We have Titus 2, the older women mentoring the younger women. We have the gathering on Thursday mornings and Thursday nights. We have GEMS, growing and encouraging moms. We have some wonderful encouraging ladies studies. Make sure you go to the Ministry Information Center and get involved, sign up. But I want you to notice what's going to make the difference. Not your mouth, not your talk, but your walk. That they may be won over without a word by the way their wives live. That's what he says. An ungodly man, a man not living for the Lord, you fill their ears, not with more words. You don't fill their ears with more words. You fill their eyes with more actions. That's what he's saying. Win them over without a word by the way you live. Listen carefully. Your mouth will never win your man. Your mouth will never win your marriage. That's what God says. And some of you have been trying to win that way. You're not going to win. You're not going to win no matter how much you talk. You're not going to win no matter how loud you talk. You're not going to win no matter how intelligent you talk and reason or argue. You're not going to win your man or your marriage with your mouth. It's not how you win. You win it with your life. He says they need to observe your pure and reverent life. The power of purity should be your focus, and the power of reverence should be your focus. Is your life pure, moral, faithful, godly? Actions speak louder than words. And is your life reverent? Do you truly honor and respect, show him respect as your husband, even when you disagree with him? I mean, it's a song, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me. Who sung that? Aretha Franklin did, but she's not the first to sing it, and she wasn't the one that wrote it. She sung it in 67, but it was written by a man, Otis Redding, in 65, because a man knows the importance of respect. He feels it very deeply, and he feels disrespect very deeply. There are few things that will hurt a man more than when you disrespect him. Whether it's private disrespect or public disrespect, that is hurt. That's why he loses it when one of your kids disrespects you as their mom. And you in the sweetest voice are like, oh, it's okay. And he's like, it's not okay. You don't respect your mother. Respect is very near and dear to a man. The passage on submission concludes in verse 5. From the past, the holy women who put their hope in God also adorned themselves in this way, submitting to their own husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you've become her children when you do what is good and do not fear any intimidation. I want you to notice here, it says these holy women put their hope in God. So women who don't put their hope in God or trust in God will not submit to God. If you refuse to submit to your husband, it's a sign that you really don't put your hope in the things of God. You really don't trust God. So the question comes down to, are you a woman of faith? You really walk with Jesus? Do you really walk with God? Then you'll follow his word and submit to your husband. From the past, the holy women, they used to adorn themselves this way. This was their clothing that was most important. There was no shame in submission. There was no dishonor in submission. It was beautiful. Submission is beautiful. And given this example of Sarah, Sarah obeyed Abraham, meaning she submitted to his leadership. And Sarah called him Lord. What? That's a typo. She called him loud. That's what it means. No. She called him Lord. There's absolutely no way I'm calling my husband Lord. That's fine. You don't have to. We're just told of Sarah's attitude toward Abraham. The depth of respect that she had for her husband to call him Lord. And it's amazing to me how many wives want to be treated like the queen. And they call themselves the queen. But they refuse to treat their husbands like the king or like the Lord. You may say, well, Sarah was married to this incredible man of God, Abraham. Oh, really? The same guy who lied about her on two occasions and called her his sister to save his own neck? Oh, Abraham, you mean the same guy that deserted her to the harem of another man, exposing her to possible sexual immorality? And God had to intervene on her behalf? You mean this man of God, Abraham, who slept with Sarah's servant girl, Hagar, and fathered a child by her servant girl? Yes, it was Sarah's idea, but Abraham went along with it. Oh, Abraham was far from perfect, and Sarah still submitted to him and called him Lord. And the scripture says, become her child. You've become her child when you act in submission, loving submission. Don't be a child of this world. Be a child of God. Be a child of Sarah. And do what is good, and don't fear intimidation. That's how it ends. Don't fear submitting to your husband. Don't fear giving up control and trusting God. Don't fear what the world thinks or society says. Don't fear how your friends or family may feel about it. A wise woman, a wise wife, is constructive. She's a builder. Trustworthy, consistent, diligent, fears God, guards her mouth, and respectfully submits.
If you've been prompted by this message and are in need of a new beginning, or would like more information about Harvest New Beginnings, visit @harvest.church.